Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our Sunday gathering at Holy Angels Parish. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. Whether you're with us live or joining us on the archives, know that you are most welcome. Holy Angels Parish is part of the Community Catholic Church of Canada, an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Catholic Anglican tradition. The service today is led by Archbishop Deborah Vaughan. You can follow along with our service at www.communitycatholicchurch.com at the online worship page. And now, let's prepare our hearts to receive inspiration, grace, and affirmation as we come into the presence of our loving Creator. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Archbishop Deborah Vaughan welcoming you to this time of prayer and worship on this Remembrance Sunday. It's been a day of great emotion, a lot of stories being told, a lot of memories being shared. The dead are being honored across Canada and also in the United States. We remember with love all of those people in our lives and those whom we don't know, who went and paid the ultimate price, the price of their life, for our freedom, for a cause. Tonight we remember all of their families who are missing them, and those who are still out in the world acting on our behalf, nobly acting, bravely acting as a presence of good in the world. The service can be found at communitycatholicchurch.com, or even other people might find it at holyangelscommunity.com on the online worship page. Let us begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Dear friends, God is with us. As we connect here today with open hearts, the presence of Christ surrounds and affirms us. We are one in this divine embrace of spirit. As we open our hearts for worship, let us take a moment and reflect on those things we've said and done that we're proud of, and offer to God the things in our life that we've said and done that we wish to confess. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, wisdom of the universe, you bear the pain of your people. Grant us the gift of wisdom, that we may discern your way and live justly and graciously amid the struggles of this world. Amen. Our first reading tonight is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning at the 8th verse. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, The jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoke by Elijah. Here ends the first reading. The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, beginning at the 38th verse. As Jesus taught, he said, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, this day we've taken time to remember those who stood to protect our country in times of great challenge. Indeed, we remember all those first responders who bravely face fire, criminals, people in need of medical care, emergency situations each and every day. So many people choose to put their lives on the line each and every day so that we can live in a safe and secure society. On this day of remembrance, we remember those who have died and those who continue to risk their lives for the greater good. I was listening to CBC the other day, and they had discovered in a vault all of these old interview tapes of Canadian men who'd gone to fight in the Spanish Revolutionary War back in 1936. It was a fantastic find. They had just been on a shelf. The fellow who had prepared them tried to get them on the air, and they just had kind of been forgotten, gathering dust. And so there were 60 interviews with these young men who had decided to go across the sea and fight in a strange land with strange people in a language that they didn't understand. Some of them were miners, some were loggers, some were accountants, businessmen, some were just people that were unemployed. And they found themselves caught up in an ideal. As the fascist government, as General Franco was taking over Spain and trying to create a whole different roadmap across Europe, Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin, they were all involved. They were all gathering strength and troops. And a lot of these men saw that the whole world would change if they took power. So some of them decided that they would go over there to fight for right. Some of them went on an adventure just to go across and see what it was about. It was a different world back then. There was no, they could have no idea of what they were about to face. And some went because other friends of theirs decided to go, and they went with the group. One of the fellows in an interview said there was nothing happening in Canada. They might as well go somewhere else and try to make their way there. Another fellow interviewed admitted that he didn't think he'd return. He went over there to fight the good fight, to fight the cause for the world, and he expected to die. No, he didn't. They interviewed him when he was into his 90s. They interviewed his kids as well, his children, and got his viewpoint then and now. And you can check that out. If you go to CBC, Living Out Loud has many of these interviews up there. Just fascinating. It's like a little vignette in time. So that's what I plan to do for the next few minutes, give you little vignettes. I've been so privileged to meet people, to know people who have fought in the wars, whose lives have been changed because they faced something that most of us will never have to know. My father grew up in a tiny village on Cape Breton Island. When the Second World War broke out, most of the boys in his village decided to sign up. They saw it as a great adventure. They saw it as a way to defend the country. They were first to enlist. They wanted to get over there and do good. My father was 15. He was underage. But he didn't want to be left behind, so he lied about his age, and he enlisted too. He never talked to us about this experience very much. I know he was in Italy. I know that he would joke that the little Italian kids could speak better Italian than he ever could. And I know that he caught some shrapnel, which was still lodged in the back of his head, which was always a conversation piece. And every now and then we'd want to, can we feel the shrapnel? It was a curiosity to my brothers and sister. I married a couple a few years back. And she'd just come back from a tour in Afghanistan. When I asked her about it, she shrugged and she said, yeah, it was hard, but they were doing good work, and she was so proud of that. I asked her if she ever felt afraid, and she said that it was something she learned to live with. And she was going to go back shortly after the wedding because there was still more work to do. She'd been working with a group of school kids, and she was missing them. I feel sure that she was a lifeline to so many in the places that she served. Her life was changed. Her life was changed by her experience. About 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, I was asked to do a prayer at a Remembrance Day ceremony in the beach area of Toronto, in Kew Gardens. This is a beautiful day today. We've had temperatures 18 degrees, like 70 degrees Fahrenheit. But usually, Remembrance Day is miserable. It's cold, it's nasty, it's drizzling, it's freezing rain. It can be the worst day in keeping with the emotion of the day. It always seems quite appropriate. Very hard on the veterans who are aging every year. And so we all gathered at the Legion. Everyone had coffee that was actually coffee-flavored whiskey. I discovered what bracing coffee they had to get them through that kind of ceremony. And afterwards, I walked along Queen Street. I went into a restaurant to have lunch. And here was this elderly soldier dressed in a uniform, a veteran, rows of medals on his chest, sitting all by himself having a beer. So I sat down and we got to chatting. I thanked him for his service to our country. And as we spoke, I learned about the cost of that time to him. He lost friends in horrible ways. He saw things that He couldn't tell me. He couldn't even repeat. His eyes would fill with tears as he recalled. He had nightmares of what he'd witnessed. All of these years later, nightmares, just night terrors. It cost him his relationship, his marriage, because he just could not cope with caring for others. He was so consumed with this experience. He told me that he had no idea what it was like on that battlefield before he got there. He didn't know what it would be like to sit in a foxhole in the pouring rain. He didn't know how that ongoing gnawing dread, waiting for the morning so they could be on the move once more. He said he wouldn't change it. He would have done it, but he was not prepared. Happened decades before that, but he relived it every day. And I think of those who paid the ultimate price with their lives. But I'm sure that there are many, many soldiers who suffer in silence like this gentleman, whose lives are changed forever. What a sacrifice they've made so that we can enjoy a free world. Every Remembrance Day, there are fewer veterans to share stories from those battlefields experiences. And it's so important that we share their stories and share the stories that we know about people in our lives to one another. In one of my parishes in Toronto, a group of women were children in England during the Second World War, and they often spoke about those terrible years. They remembered the sounds of the bombs falling from the sky and the delight of sharing chocolate sent from friends overseas, and the challenge it was for their parents to make the food stretch, that constant grim fear of not knowing what friend or relative would be wearing a black armband next. One woman in particular, she was a war bride. Her name was Doris, and she was one of my favorite ladies in that parish. I just loved her, her gentle spirit. She came to Canada with her soldier husband, Canadian soldier husband, after a whirlwind courtship in England. She left everyone she knew. She arrived in this strange land, and they had a very happy life together and had just celebrated, I think, their 50th anniversary when he died very suddenly. And the church had become her second home. Doris would often pop into my office bearing freshly baked goodies, and we'd sit and chat about life. And one day we got talking about the war. She'd lost many loved ones in the battlefields, and she still had nightmares about the war, waking up in a cold sweat with the sound of those buzz bombs ringing in her ears. She told me that the war years had changed everyone she knew, and how could they not? Small things were savored. Life was seen as more precious. Time on earth was understood in a very different way, because everything could be destroyed in an instant by a bomb. In those years, she also found her faith. Her family had not been very religious, but she started going to church, drawn to the music and the quiet assurance that she encountered by those who attended worship. She wanted to have that assurance too. She wanted to know that there was a reason, a purpose for all this darkness and fear and death and war. And she had a lot of prayers and questions for God. She found peace amidst a world literally falling apart around her. She found meaning in the message of the gospel. She met Jesus in a real way, very real way. Here was someone who understood the broken, the fearful, the grieving people. Here was someone who knew about suffering and oppression. Here was someone who died so that God's love would be known in our hearts. She got it. And that connection with Jesus, who gave all so that we could live, never faltered throughout the course of her life. She said it made her a better person, despite the hardships. For us today, battlefields may seem very distant. Something happening in other parts of the world that we see coming into our televisions or hearing about on the news. We may know people who are involved in the military. We may know people who have died defending our country. What happens to one affects us all. As we remember our loved ones lost, and as we offer thanks for their lives and for their bravery, we remember the first responders too, who are at work on our behalf. Let us recognize the true cost that their sacrifice and actions have bought us. Let us never take for granted our beautiful country, our freedoms, and our rights. And may we too, in this time of worship, recognize the gift of time we have, the blessings that we've been given. May we know the assurance and the affirmation of our loving Creator in our hearts. God speaks to us this day, calling us to act in loving ways, to reach out to those in need, to be merciful to friend and stranger alike, to see the face of Christ in everyone we meet. It has been said that to remember is to end all war. May this be a truth that we experience in our lifetime. Amen. Let us pray. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgivings and our petitions on behalf of the Church and the world. In our prayers this night, we remember all who were affected by those terrible great wars and by all who are affected by the oppression, by the injustice, by the wars that take place across our globe even now, for all the soldiers, all the troops who are involved, for all those who have died, for all those whose lives have been changed forever, for their families, as they grieve, as they remember, as they live with the memories of what could have been. May we know this night the sacrifice and the bravery and the heroism that suits each and every one, the great sacrifice of their life. We give thanks for that sacrifice. We give thanks for our freedom. And we give thanks for all that their lives have bought us as we enjoy our life. We pray for all of those who are in our lives who need to know God's healing touch, those who need to know grace, to have peace of mind, for all who are in any need or distress. And we pray for our own needs, our concerns and worries, knowing that even as we utter them, they are already being heard, that answers are coming, that responses will be made known. We pray for all those who have died in the peace of Christ and those whose faith is known to God alone, especially all of those veterans, all of those war heroes of every nation, of every culture, all of those whose lives have been sacrificed in the name of peace. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word. Draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you, as you are one with us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are in communion with each other and with all through the Creator. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and Wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. We are all one, all fashioned by the love of God, all gifted by God's grace, all embraced together by God's love. Today, as we connect with that constant, unbounded presence, may our lives be filled with joy, and may the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for this time of worship. I hope that it has helped you and soothed you a little bit. I commend you to the archive, where you'll find other services and reflections to keep you company if you need to have a friendly voice. And I do invite you to visit the website, communitycatholicchurch.com, to see what we're about and to find some prayers there that will be supportive to you too. Until next Sunday, probably an earlier broadcast, our usual time at 10 a.m. Today I had a church service, so I couldn't be on the air at that time. I invite you to join us then, and I wish you blessings in your week. Thanks for joining us today for this time of worship. We know that you have been blessed through this broadcast, and we have been blessed by your presence with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Community Catholic Church of Canada, please visit our website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. If you feel moved to offer a donation to support these broadcasts, you'll find a donation button on the website, or you can send a check to the address found on the donation page. Join Bishop Deb every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. for a 15-minute boost to your day on Connection Point. Until next time, may God richly bless you.